As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're right, 8:15 on Thursday morning. Tommy Tucker welcoming in our friend, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer at People's Health. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. How about those boxer puppies?
They're doing okay. Crazy. Nearly killed me yesterday.
Oh, no.
They've got a lot of energy, more than I do.
I hear that. We're going to talk about when you need medical attention, as Dr. B almost did yesterday, knowing where you can go. It can save you time and help get the care you need. But how do you make that decision? Dr. B is going to help us decide whether to go to your primary care provider, an urgent care facility, or the emergency department. I guess we'll start, Doc, with what is a primary care provider?
Yeah, sure. So, and I am a primary care provider, so this is a great topic. But a primary care provider, or we call ourselves PCPs, are really physicians who practice general health care. And it could be a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant as well. And you can see us for all kinds of things. You know, we do focus a lot on yearly checkups and a lot of preventative care, things like vaccinations and health screenings. But we can also help you manage a lot of chronic health conditions, things like diabetes and high blood pressure in particular.
So a PCP is not just for older people. What kind of illnesses can a PCP treat?
Yeah, so, you know, for a PCP, if your symptoms are not life-threatening or they're not so severe that, you know, you may need to go elsewhere, which we'll talk about, your PCP is probably the best place to start. We're going to be able to treat a variety of conditions. You know, it could be simple things like allergies, sinus infections, and colds, but it could be a little bit more severe things like burns, aches, and pains. And then, like I mentioned, all of those chronic medical problems like diabetes, heart disease, and lung disease.
When should you go to an urgent care center? Like when your boxers are trying to kill you?
Maybe, but probably you should call your PCP first. So an urgent care center, and a lot of people don't realize this, they really provide the same services that a primary care provider does. And so you want to think about those facilities when your PCP is not available, or maybe you can't wait to get in to see your PCP. So, you know, examples there would be when you're out of town, or if you need care on a night or weekend, or maybe if your PCP doesn't have any open appointments, that's when you're really going to consider urgent care.
Can an urgent care center kind of like fill the role of a PCP?
They really can't, and the reason why is because urgent cares are there for kind of what we call one-and-done visits. So, you know, they don't actually take a really extensive medical history on you. They don't have that continuity or know what's going on with you from visit to visit because you're pretty much in and out. In fact, some of them, I think, are called in and out. And so, really, they don't focus on wellness activities like health screenings. They're really there to just address that one issue. Your PCP, on the other hand, is really going to see you regularly. They're going to get to know you. They're going to understand your health and your medical and your family history. And keep in mind, in addition to treating, you know, all those illnesses and injuries, when you get in to see them, they're going to try to make you stay healthier and actually live healthier through that preventative care and management of all your conditions.
And what I'm hearing here, Doc, is like they're the overseer of all the medications, right? They can look at what Dr. A is giving you, Dr. C, et cetera, right? And then see, well, wait, you can't have this because you're taking that.
Exactly. In fact, you know, I always call them the captains of the ship. They're there to manage everything.
What about the emergency department? When do you head there?
Yeah, so the emergency department is really designed to handle those kind of complex and critical needs. And, you know, most of them are attached to a hospital, so they can actually admit you directly to the hospital if you need emergent care or you need surgery, perhaps. You really only want to go to the emergency department when you have a life-threatening illness or injury. And so some things to think about there, if you've got trouble breathing, absolutely, if you've got chest pain or really severe stomach pain. Broken bones is another definite reason to go to the ER. Uncontrolled or excessive bleeding is another one. And then really severe coughing, especially if you're coughing up blood. And then definitely if you've lost consciousness or have any signs of a stroke, that's what the ER is for.
And there are reasons why you shouldn't make the emergency department the catch-all and just go for anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're sick or you're in pain, you want to be seen right away. But if you go to the emergency department, you're not necessarily going to get immediate treatment. The wait times can be hours sometimes. And the reason for that is because emergency departments are designed to see patients based on the severity of their condition. We call that triaging. So it's not on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you've got a critical illness, you want that taken care of right away. If you've got a less severe illness, it could take quite a while, for them to actually see you. And then the other thing to keep in mind is that emergency room cost, in terms of the cost to the patient, can be extremely expensive. You know, a copay for a PCP may be $0 or $5. Urgent care may be a little bit more, but the ER could be upwards of $100 or more dollars to see a doctor.
And you don't want to clog it up for the people that do legitimately need to see an emergency physician as well. Let's take a break. We'll come back, go through some scenarios maybe of what it actually looks like in picking a care provider. Dr. B, our guest, our friend, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. More when we return, 820 Traffic Now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, 826, back with Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. We're talking about how do you decide what doctor to go to when you're seeking medical attention, whether it's a primary care provider or an emergency room or urgent care. And Doc, maybe we can go through some scenarios to see what it would actually look like to help people decide.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the first one?
So let's say it's Wednesday morning and you've been under the weather for a few days. Maybe you've got a cough, a little low-grade fever, and some pressure in your face, like sinus pressure. And you've taken all your over-the-counter allergy and cold medicines, but it's just not helping. And so you're thinking, uh-oh, maybe I've got COVID or the flu.
All right. So what do you do?
So with that example, I would say definitely call your PCP's office, and you want to ask them to schedule an appointment. What's great now, you know, since the pandemic, a lot of docs can offer a virtual visit too, because you might be contagious and they don't want you spreading it around. So they may be able to assess you virtually and then see if you need to come in for additional testing or an appointment. And that way they'll be able to actually determine what your actual illness is, how to care for you. And they do all that in the context of your other medical problems, because if you've got things like high blood pressure, maybe you don't want to be taking some of the over-the-counter medicines.
All right, give me another scenario.
Yeah, so let's say, it's 6 o'clock on a Saturday and you go for a run and you stumble on our wonderful sidewalks and you twist your ankle. And it's swollen and painful, but you're pretty sure it's not broken because you can get up and you can walk a little bit just with pain. So you really think probably I need to get to check, I need to get this checked out.
I thought you were going to say it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday there for a second. I was getting ready to channel Billy Joel. So what do you do?
So in that scenario, you know, it's the weekend. Your PCP's office is probably closed if they don't have weekend hours. And your ankle doesn't seem broken. You're able to actually walk a little bit on it just with pain. So it's probably not a medical emergency. So that is the ideal situation to go to urgent care. A lot of urgent cares will also have x-ray facilities in them. So, you know, the doctor can actually examine you, take an x-ray, see if it is truly broken, and then they'll kind of recommend how you need to be treated and if you need additional follow-up. And then don't forget, the next week, call your PCP and let them know what happened.
Give me one more example.
Yeah, so this is real world. This happened to me. So it's 2 a.m. You wake up with severe stomach pain, hard to move, you know, screaming and yelling. You're nauseous, and you have a fever that's going up.
What'd you do? Or what should somebody do?
So my wife thought I was joking, but keep in mind, not all stomach pain requires an emergency department visit, but in this sort of situation, it probably is the best option to go to the emergency department because the pain is sudden, it's intense, and it's accompanied by other symptoms like the fever in particular, which can be a really bad red, you know, a red flag there. And so that was actually the sign of appendicitis. And you could end up with a perforation of your appendix or other medical emergency type problems. So you definitely want to go to the ER, which is what I did in that scenario.
So you did diagnose yourself? I'm just curious when it comes to physicians, or you did not?
I did. I actually walked in and I said, I think my appendix ruptured. And about 30 minutes later, they wheeled me off to surgery.
Wow,
so,
no
yeah,
kidding.
That was. Yeah,
that can be serious. Good thing you find.
Yeah, absolutely. And I usually don't like going to the ER at all unless I'm working there. And but yep, that was a scenario where you definitely have to go.
No offense, Doc. Nobody likes to go to the ER. Any final advice for us?
Yeah, I think the last thing would be, you know, call your PCP if you've got an issue like this. They can help you decide the best place to get the care, and that's really what they're there for. So make sure you're reaching out to them and they know what's going on. And if you do seek care elsewhere, let them know about it so they can make sure that it coordinates with everything else going on with you.
Some very valuable information. Thanks, Dr. B, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. And you're feeling fine now? You're all healed up?
I'm all healed up.
All right, good.
Ready for JazzFest.
All right, good. Have a great time. You can visit the People's Health Medicare Center at 3017 Vets between North Causeway Boulevard and Trader Joe's if you want to find out more. Appointments are recommended. Walk-ins are welcome. Also, to find out more about People's Health, you can go to peopleshealth.com or just give them a call at 800-978-9765. We're talking JazzFest with Keith Spiro when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. All right, 8:47, 13 till 9. Keith Spira joins us now, reporter for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, day one of Jazz Fest. How you doing, Keith?
I have my Jazz Fest shoes on and I'm ready to go.
What? How do you define Jazz Fest shoes given the forecast? Are they your older shoes?
They're always older shoes, okay. Yes, because, you know, the fairgrounds take a toll on shoes no matter if it's muddy or not.
You know what I want to do? I want to open the Oakwinard Jeweler Talk and Text line here for any first-timers going to Jazz Fest or regulars that have any questions, looking for some hints, et cetera, because it can be, in a way, kind of daunting or overwhelming if you've never been. 504-260-1870. Text, data, message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. How many is this for you, Keith? What Jazz Fest is it for you?
Every Jazz Fest since 1990.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you figure that's, what, 33 or so, counting the two that were skipped because of COVID years. I think when you add it up, I've spent around 210 days at Jazz Fest. So literally more than half a year of my life I've spent at Jazz Fest.
So compare, if you will, quickly before we get to who's kind of, I always like to, you know, look at snapshots of where we were, where we are. 1990s festival, what was it like then? Take people back and then as opposed to today?
Yeah, the bones of the festival have remained unchanged. You know, the general format, the signage, you know, the feel is still there. What's changed is that they bumped up to a whole other level of headlining talent. You know, back then, you might have B.B. King headlining the main stage. You know, and in the last years of his life, you know, B.B. King was playing the blues tent now because you have so, you know, these much bigger more popular acts at the main stage. So that's really been the big change. And of course, it's, you know, more expensive to go now than it used to be back in the day, but so is everything else.
Has it gotten about as big as it can get?
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, the post-Katrina crowds are not as big as some of the pre-Katrina crowds, actually. So so the totals that they have nowadays are not as big as they were previous to Katrina. So there, to answer your question, there is more room out there because they've had more people out there than they typically get now. You know, it's a little bit smaller crowd than it used to be. You know, it's never fully recovered after Katrina and really after the September 11th attacks as well. I think leading.
Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
Well, no. So, yeah, September 11th really knocked back attendance as well, you know, back in 2001. So between those two things, it's never built back to those big crowds they were having kind of in the, you know, the late 90s and early 2000s.
Is it more hardcores now than beginners?
You know, I think it's a mix. I think probably now they've built up to the point where they have more out-of-town folks coming. You know, locals sometimes get jaded, and they're like, it's Jazz Fest, it's expensive. So they don't maybe go out as much. But, you know, and the festival's been very aggressive about marketing itself nationwide. You know, I think they have a little bit of a problem with the name. You know, people think, you know, they don't know anything about the festival, think it's just a jazz festival. But obviously it's not. It never really has been. It's always had other types of artists. So some people don't think that it's, you know, like Lollapalooza or Bonnaroo, where you have these big, you know, mainstream rock acts and R&B acts. They don't quite realize that. So the festival has definitely tried to market itself to a national audience more by letting folks know, no, you can see, you know, i.e. Lil Wayne or the Dave Matthews Band or John Fogerty or all these other people at Jazz Fest.
I got a couple of texts coming in. Somebody says they're a first timer, don't even know how to go about any of it. So Keith will hold your hand and take you through that when we come back. Somebody else wants to know if they're going to go one day this weekend, what day would Keith suggest that they go? We're talking to Keith Spira, reporter for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans advocate about Jazz Fest. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 8:56 and a half. Quickly back to Keith Spira, reporter of the New Orleans Advocate Times-Picayune about Jazz Fest opening today. What time? 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock. It all gets rolling. Yep.
So for somebody to text it in, Keith, and said they're a first-timer, hold their hand, take them through advice, what would you tell them?
Well, get you a cab or a rideshare or public transportation to drop you off on Gentilly Boulevard in front of the main gate or near Lyuses by the track on Esplanade. Follow the crowd to the ticket booth. Get your ticket. Go into the grounds. Get an iced tea, a Mandarin iced tea, and just let your ears and nose be your guide. Something smells good, buy it and eat it. Something sounds good, stop in there and hear it. That's really all there is to it.
And somebody else texted in about the best day to go of this weekend. I guess that's such a subjective thing, and I think the other thing is that there's so much going on with so many different tents, it's hard to not find something you like, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You either go to see a specific act that you're a fan of. For instance, I mean, if you're a Dave Matthews fan, then you go on Sunday to see the Dave Matthews Band. But if you want to just sort of experience the festival as a whole, really today's the day to go. It's going to be the lightest crowd of the day. And you could buy a ticket, you know, at the gate for $60 plus fees if you're a Louisiana resident, which is, you know, the best deal of the whole festival, you know. But, yeah, definitely today and Friday the crowds will be lighter. But, you know, if you want to see a specific act, like if you want to see Lil Wayne or Harry Connick, you go on Saturday. You know, it just kind of depends on what your tastes are.
And somebody wants to know what you can bring and what you can't bring.
You can bring in a sealed bottle of water, plastic bottle of water, which, you know, invariably there are kids and vendors out in the street selling ice cold water for $1. So grab one of those. Don't open it. You can take it in. You know, you can bring a rain poncho. I believe you can bring a small umbrella. You know, you can't really bring food, but I don't know that they're going to, you know, stop you if you have a, you know, small bag of almonds or a banana in your pocket or anything like that. So
somebody else texted in and wanted to know about, is there a time where it's too late to go? Because a lot of people can't get there for 11 o'clock.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, look, the headliners go on at 5:30. So, you know, if you get out there at 3 o'clock, yeah, you're still going to see a bunch of stuff. I mean, you can roll out there at five and still see, you know, today, John Fogerty and Goose, you know, both those bands start at, well, Goose starts at 5:10, John Fogerty at 5:30. You know, on Friday, same thing. Casey Musgraves is on at 5:30. Cheap Trick is on at 5:45. Gladys Knight at 5:50. So really, I mean, you know, that in and of itself is a show. I mean, people pay tickets to go see just standalone concerts by these particular artists. So yeah, you could roll up to Jazz Fest at 5 o'clock and still get a concert.
Thank you, Keith. A pleasure as always. Enjoy it. Have a great 2 weekends. Keith Spearer, reporter for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Always amazes me how loud the Jazz Fest is, and you compare that and contrast it with the Zurich Classic, where you have all of these thousands of people together and you barely hear anything at certain times. And then in between, you got the NFL draft. That happens today. We'll talk to Mike Dettelier for an hour when we return on WWL.